the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
It is Tuesday, and it's Exploring the Word. That means it's the day of prayer. We're looking forward to this, and it's become a very important day for us as we get to hear your prayer request and many times praises. So praises are accepted as well. So we're looking forward to that. That will be in the last segment. We have three segments. The first two, we go through the Word of God. And today we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But the last segment, we take calls. And on Tuesdays, we make priority to prayer. That doesn't mean you can't ask a question, but it may mean that somebody may call in after you and have a prayer request, and we move them up. That's the way we do it on Tuesday. Alex, I love how this happened. If you remember, there was a lady who called and said, you know, our election in 2024 is going to be on a Tuesday, and months before said, why don't we pray on Tuesday? And we did that all the way up to the election day. And then guess what? It became so important to us. We said, let's keep it around and do it every Tuesday, even after the election.
Yeah, just like we have, you know, questions on Friday, and we have prayer on Tuesday. And so later on, we'll open that up. And, you know, yesterday, Bert, as we were wrapping up 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then it gets into chapter 3, and it describes rough times in history so that we need prayer. I mean, we couldn't do without prayer. And the fortunate thing is that prayer changes things. Prayer works, doesn't it?
Amen. You know what it does for me more than anything? It changes me. And I'm not just saying that. It really, I've prayed for things. After I'd prayed for them and listened to them, I said, okay, Lord, that is completely selfish. That is completely something. And the Lord has changed me through the Word of God and through prayer. And then I would say Him using difficulties in my life to make me who I am. And so, yes, the good things help. They do. Praise God. The individuals help. But praise the Lord, prayer is a vital part of that. And in perilous times, we need to pray. Alex, let me read. Now, let me warn folks, there's 18 different words or phrases that describe these perilous times. Now, if we went through every one of those and gave you a word study on every one, we would be in this for about 2 weeks, because each one of them, I was looking at them, and they're very, I would say, clear, but needs some explaining. So we're going to pick some of them, but you can listen to all of them. Let me read chapter 3, and I'm going to read all the way down through verse 5. Here it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." You can translate that difficult, terrible, got a lot of words that describe these perilous days. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Now listen to this last line, and it tells you something. "And from such people, turn away." Now, Alex, we've always had these kind of people, okay? And really, the last days is always referring to the time that Jesus, you know, as he ascended and went back to the Lord, and then the Pentecost happened, the church was birthed on that day. We've been living in the last days. That's the phrase that is used, but we're living in the last of the last days.
So in I think so.
So in these last days, these 18 have always been with us. But according to Scripture, it grows worse and worse as you see the day approaching. So all of these things could be seen in every generation, but as the generations get closer to the coming of the Lord, they become multiplied, don't they?
Well, they really do. And, Bert, you know, whenever I read 2 Timothy 3, well, really the whole chapter, but especially 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, Bert, it reminds me of Romans 1, 18 through 32. And it basically talks about how there's this downward slide of a culture that rejects God and truth. And it really starts with pride and ingratitude. You know, grievous or perilous times will come. Men should be lovers of their own selves. And that's narcissism. And, Bert, I really think Satan was the original narcissist.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
It was all about him. Isaiah 14 talks about he wanted to ascend above the throne of God. And you look at all of this carnality, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, in other words, slandering the name of God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, you notice in 2 Timothy 3:2, one of the, it starts the dominoes falling, ingratitude. And that's in Romans 1 as well. And, you know, Bert, we've got so much to be grateful for, not the least of which is just life itself. I mean, God didn't have to create us. We didn't have to exist. And yet, we've been given the gift of life. And I think there are a lot of people today, not only do they not know Jesus, they don't even know about life itself.
Alex, it could not be more true than what you just said, but I want to notice this. There's three times, and here I am, I'm going to notice it, that something is repeated. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unloving, but then in the last part, it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In other words, where is your heart? What are you living for? This is what they were living for. They were living for pleasure. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving God and then having pleasure that is godly. And honestly, praise God for that, yes. But seeking pleasure at your own expense, there's a price to pay. But here, lovers of themselves, when you start out that way, and you become your own God, and things become something that you attain, and people are people that you use. You know what I mean? When you love yourselves like that, you use people, and this is what happens. Lovers of themselves, they make themselves, and it's a little g, but they make themselves God. And it's all about me. You're talking about narcissistic. Yes, Satan was, but there's a lot of other people, and it's all about them. And so here it is, all these words, and every one of them is really painful. And I liked what you said about gratitude, unthankful. All of these, when you become lovers of yourselves, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be unthankful. That just goes with the territory, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and let's talk about words a little bit.
That's your thing, man. You do a great job. I hit it. I want to hear what you say.
Well, in verse 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And the word there, and many people might have heard the word, is hedonism. To be hedonistic, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-T-I-C, hedonistic. That just means your God is pleasure. And, you know, we're living in a very hedonistic culture. I mean, you look at the grocery store and, you know, in the checkout line will be Cosmopolitan magazine that really, if you just saw the cover of that magazine, you would think for the females of the Western world, promiscuity is their God, you know, sex. And then when there is, you know, a pregnancy, then the abortion. All right, now here's the thing. The word there, lovers of pleasure, and it doesn't mean joy and happiness and just the blessings of life that, you know, there are many pleasures that are not immoral. But the word there is a form of the word hedonistic. It's basically phileadonis. Now, phileo is a Greek word for love. Adonis, you've heard sometimes like a handsome young man, but a handsome young man with no morals is called an Adonis. That's a Canaanite word that goes back to time immemorial, and it's a Canaanite word for Lord, Hedonis. Hedonism is a version of the word Hedonis. Then we use the word Adonis. And here's my point. It's an ancient word that basically means immorality and worldly pleasures are your Lord. And that is not the life that knows the true and living Savior. That is not the kind of life characteristic of one controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Bert, I think our Lord is evident by what makes us happy and what we desire. Would you agree?
I agree fully, Alex. And contra, they stand opposed rather than. So this, you know, that rather than puts some comparison, but puts them opposed to one another. In other words, if you're seeking this deceitful pleasure, hedonistic lifestyle, then I want to tell you the real God, God, the Creator, the Redeemer, He's left out. But guess what they want to do? They want to have religion, a form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, they want to, their form, let me try to say this, I want to make sure I get it right, they want their form of religion that they pick and choose, coming under no authority except their own. Now, what does this mean? It go with finishing up where you said lovers of the of pleasure start out with lovers of themselves, and where does it end? It ends with a form of godliness. In other words, they're going to form, man's going to be religious, atheist. That's atheism is a religion for them. So they're going to have a religion. They're going to be something that they bow to, if you want to put it that way, that they succumb to. It may be their own lifestyle. But here it is. It starts out with lovers of themselves, and it finishes up with, well, but they're very religious, but they deny the power. Now, what is the power? It's Jesus Christ, but it's also the power to change. I'm no longer starting out with lovers of myself. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my body, and I have Jesus Christ as Lord. Guess what? When you do that and make Jesus the first thing on your list, everything that follows there in verses 2, 3, and 4 changes. Now, again, we still have that carnal nature, but we do not run to it, Alex. Yes. We run to Christ. So if you don't start out right, lovers of yourselves, look what follows. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm telling you. But interestingly, religion goes on, having a form of godliness, but no power. In other words, empty, vacuous, no substance. And so I want to talk a little bit about verse 6.
Let me say this one more time. Now, what do you do? What's our response to such things as believers? We turn away. In other words, the idea is we don't participate. You catch? I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That this is an area we do not run to those excesses. We don't go there. I'm sorry, Alex, but
that was the important
phrase.
And I want to hear, how does I've got the King James. How does your translation render verse 6?
For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 7.
We'll talk more about that after the break. This is Exploring the Word with Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. We're going to take your prayer request today. We'll continue looking at God's Word. But when we also come back, we want to hear from you with things to pray about, also Bible questions if you've got those as well. Stay tuned. Exploring the Word is back after this.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in the clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Do you remember, oh, those lonely nights when he took the wrongs that you couldn't make right? And every tear that you cried, every broken prayer you prayed, he turned it for good, he lets nothing go to waste. You can count on that, you know what he's like. You've seen him do it a thousand times, yeah. Even in the dead of night, there's never been a night when the sun don't rise.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Burke Harper here, and so honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, I'm going to give the number because in a few moments we will open up the phones. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a prayer request. And my goodness, there's a lot to pray about in this day and age. But the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Bert, if the times in which we live don't move you to pray, I don't know what would, you know?
That's true. It's a time to pray. It really is, Alex.
You know, verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3, I've pondered on that verse. Bert, I remember in the late 80s when I was a brand new Christian going to college, and I mean, pretty quickly, I kind of begin to understand the battle of worldviews because, you know, even before I was saved, I sensed my college professors, and I mean, my goodness, this was, you know, 40 years ago almost, but they just had an agenda. They seemed to despise America, and they mocked things like marriage and traditional values. And then even, although it wasn't as pronounced as it has become, but they you know, kind of would talk disparagingly of church and religion and God. Well, I came across this verse as a young believer, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I thought, that's the faculty of UNC Greensboro and half the people I went to college with. I mean, there was data, information, content, but it wasn't truth. And my goodness, now we live in the internet age. Everybody's got essentially the Library of Congress in the palm of their hand. And yet, we as a culture, it's like we're ever learning, but never able to really embrace the knowledge of truth.
Alex, I believe it is because Jesus Christ, okay? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I know there's truths, but there is the truth, and that's Christ with a capital T. We realize that. And I know there's people that believe truths that are not born again. I at least that's good to have in voting. It's good to have in society. But I would say this, never come into that point. Never. Why? Because none of the learning really satisfies. You know, all the data, all the knowledge, all the things that a person can have educationally, financially, whatever they could do power-wise is never satisfied under that space, that vacant space that's in our hearts, in our lives, that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Alcohol cannot, drugs cannot, immorality cannot. Only Christ. So what do? They keep on searching. Well, I'm going to look here. Isn't that what, you know, we were talking about what Solomon was looking for? I mean, he was looking for that when he was seeking it in Ecclesiastes. He tried this, he tried that, and nothing fulfilled that. I think that's a commentary here on verse 7 as well.
Exactly. Like Augustine said, the heart is restless till it rests in thee.
Amen.
And it goes on, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Okay, these were the magicians. Remember, Moses threw down his staff and it became a serpent, and the magicians tried to replicate that trick. They were in Pharaoh's court when Moses was going to deliver the Hebrews from the Egyptians. They resisted truth. People do that today. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate minds. Now, Bert, in Romans 1:28, it talks about reprobation. And you probably don't hear this preached very much anymore, but I remember I used to hear the grandparents, this is when I was a little kid, they were talking about, you know, all the filth and the stuff on TV, and they would say, those old bunch of reprobates.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant, but actually, believe it or not, a reprobate mind, we think of it as a mind given over to evil, and it is, but it really means an inconvenient mind. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a mind that can no longer function for what it was designed to do. Now, what was your mind designed to do? It was designed to know truth and respond to truth. And let me go back, and I'll throw it back to you. Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right. When I was in college, I remember all my professors, it seemed like, at the State University, they could not stand Ronald Reagan. They could not stand Jesse Helms. And some of you might be old enough to remember Senator No. Jesse Helms, he was great. He was a conservative, devout Christian from North Carolina. They couldn't stand Jerry Falwell, Chuck Colson, Billy Graham, right? Nowadays, professors, they don't even know the difference between a male or a female. I mean, see, 40 years ago, they were rejecting known truth, morals, marriage, freedom, patriotism, reverence for God. Now, if you fail at the big issues of life, you're going to fail at the little issues of life. I think about this. Why don't people in Hollywood and the Democrat Party have a conscience about moral boundaries? Look, it doesn't even convict them to murder babies. So if you fail at the highest order moral truths, you're going to fail at the lower level moral truths. And so we're to the point, some in this world that are woke, liberal, revisionist history, deconstructionist, they don't even know what a man or a woman is. And that's what happens. A reprobate mind can no longer discern between right and wrong.
And it all starts by rejecting that truth. Let me go back to, you're talking about the plagues. Let's go back to what these two guys did, at least two of them. They could reduplicate three. The snakes, well, they threw down that, you know, and they made snakes. But what happened? The snake that Moses, the rod that he threw down, devoured them. Yes. Then blood, the Nile River. Guess what they did? They did it. I believe it was fake, but they had their sorcery, and they were able to duplicate that. The third one was frogs, and they reduplicated that. After they got past the frogs and to the flies, the lice, and all that, they really could not reduplicate it. But here's the point. All they could do in their magicianship was add to the misery, okay? Blood.
Right.
They
right.
added more blood. Now, the one that really gets me is the frogs. Okay, they had enough frogs, and they said, well, we can do that. And they added, if they were real, they would have taken away the frogs. And only God did that. God did that. So the reason I say this, I think we're learning something here about when you reject truth and you're lovers of yourself more than you are lovers of God, you see that and you start down this thing. Well, I've got some peace. I drink my little toddy at night, and that brings me peace, but not the peace of God that passes understanding. Oh yeah, I enjoy meeting with people, but it's at the end of it, after we drink and we have to go home, I have the hangover the next. You can try to duplicate that, but it only adds to your misery. And that's exactly what they did in these plagues that God used Moses to bring to the Egyptian people, Alex. So put that into this and say, when you're trying to do this, you're adding to your problem. When you reject Christ, when you walk away from truth and you start trying to do this, you only add to that which is miserable, and it becomes more miserable in the end.
Bert, that is a great observation. That is a really great observation. And, you know, it's been said that Satan is just the original mimic. He's never come up with anything original. He only it's like a parasite and a host. The host is God and his truth. The parasite that corrupts everything are Satan and his lies. And we talked yesterday about those that chapter 2 talked about, like a canker. Verse 17 of chapter 2, the words of false teachers is like a cancer.
It is.
Or a gangrene. But then it says that in verse 9 of chapter 3, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 10 sort of changes, and I want to come to that. But, Bert, the folly of a lost hedonistic world— I hesitate to bring this up, but let me just say this. I saw in the news this morning Robert Redford died, the actor. He was in, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and a famous, famous movie called The Sting, Robert Redford. Hollywood leading man. I don't know anything about the ultimate state of his soul, but I was reading, I Googled, because, you know, all these famous people, and of course the accolades and the praises come in. Oh, you know, what an amazing actor. Okay. Somebody interviewed him. They said, you know, what do you believe about the afterlife? And he said, nobody knows. He said, for me, nature is spirituality. He said, is there any afterlife? Nobody knows. And he said, and I just don't worry about it. Now, is he with God or not? I mean, I hope he got saved, but based on interviews, it didn't look like it. But here's my point. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you're destitute. You can have looks and fame and movies on the big screen, but if you're bound for hell, your life has been a waste. You know?
It is.
And I think about this, their folly ends. All the glory of man is just a fleeting vapor. Listen, folks, if you've never come to Jesus, he's as close by as a prayer, and ask Christ to forgive your sins and save your soul, because that is not only the true riches, what we have in Christ, but it's the lasting riches.
Amen. It's a divine exchange. Listen. Yes, you surrender your life to him, and Lord, I'm yours, but he gives you real life. He takes you out of the darkness into the light. He takes you from death to life. This is what you exchange, folly for reality. And the reality of who Jesus Christ is, it's real. Alex, verse 10, as you've already said, you got a conjunction. I tell folks, always look at the conjunctions. Look, okay, therefore, but then. You look at these words, and here is Paul. He says, okay, you've heard my list of what all this does and what it does, but you, Timothy, let you know, and put your name there now, Bert and Alex, Brent, Marty, Richard, all of us here. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. We know what he teaches. And then my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. Okay, there's one. I love his list. I told Alex during the break, all of you who are listening, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy has several lists, and this is one of them. But notice that you have carefully followed my doctrine. What you see in doctrine and manner of life, they stack up and go parallel with one another. They're not in disagreement. What you're going to have with religious people that look at things about themselves, when they make themselves lovers of themselves, you're going to find so many inconsistencies in what they say and what they do. And here Paul says, Timothy, you have followed my doctrine. Now, again, we find out he goes to, is it Acts 16 or 15, that we find out Timothy joins Paul on his second missionary journey, and he has been with him in and out in difficult places, says, you know what I've taught, and now you know my manner of life, my purpose for living, the faith that I have, my long suffering, my love, my perseverance. All of these, says, you know, in other words, the proof that what I say and how I respond about the truth is real. And he is saying, Timothy, stick to this stuff. Because later on, listen what he says in verse 14, continue in these things. These things that I've shown you, these things that I've demonstrated to you, continue in these things. Alex, Paul's admonition to Timothy was real. Stay with the stuff.
Well, amen. Let's connect verse 13 to verse 1. It says, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, when is this going to happen? In the last days. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, in the last days perilous times shall come. And it's listed all these things. And it's almost a summation. You know, Paul is saying, hey, I've my teaching, my manner of life, the godliness that I've spoken, the godliness that I've modeled, follow that. But in as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, evil men and seducers shall, deceivers, seduction, people that are ensnared by false teachers. And Bert, I think it's more than I've ever seen previously in my life. How about you?
I'm a little older than you, and it is true. And that's what it says. It will get worse and worse as you see the day approaching. Well, it's the day of prayer, and that phone number we'd love for you to call is 888-589-8840, your day of prayer, and we'd love to hear your praises as well.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real, and yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Amen. This is the day of prayer here on Exploring the Word, Tuesday. And if you've got a prayer request, we would love to hear it. You get that by calling the number 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Brent can get your prayer request if you go to our Facebook and let him know about that. He can do that, and he'll share it with us. But I've got a prayer request, Alex. I'm going to be preaching tonight at Gilmore Chapel Methodist Church up close to Marietta, Mississippi. Matter of fact, it's real close to where I'm interim pastor at Ozark Baptist Church. So I got a feeling we're going to have some Methodist and Baptist get together to sing and preach about Jesus tonight. So if you're in that area, Boonville area, Baldwin area, Fulton area, ever here in Northeast Mississippi, it's at 7 o'clock at Gilmore Chapel Methodist Church, and I'll be preaching, looking forward to it, and just thanking God that He is such a great God. So join us if you would. So make that a matter of prayer.
Well, that sounds really good. Wish I could be there.
Well, we're going to have a time just praising the Lord Jesus. But we have people that's called in, so let's get to the phone lines. And it's Robin in Virginia. Robin, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you so, so much. I feel like I know you guys because I listen as much as I can. And so I want to thank you both, Alex and Bert, I'm going to get emotional here, for your love of Christ. And your love of the word, because it's really how wonderful you guys express in your own accents, vernacular, the words you choose, you're down to earth, that you really share the word, which is our sword, right?
Amen.
And so my prayer request is not only for Charlie Kirk's family, because we know where Charlie Kirk is. Mm-hmm. In my life, there are two friends and people that I knew from back in high school. So, you know, that's almost 47 years ago I graduated, and I just wanted to ask prayer. One was an athlete. She was in my class, and she was a wonderful, upbeat, intelligent, funny woman who was just a great athlete. She passed last weekend, and so her ceremony will be this weekend. But also, we had our coach in that high school in Maryland, in the Montgomery County area, who passed away this week. And I wanted to ask for prayer for both of them, I mean, their families and all their friends, because I'm not going to be able to attend the services. And if I could say their name, it was Cecilia Dove, who passed away, who was in my year, graduated in 1978. But our coach, Fred Shepherd, he passed away, and they're going to live stream his ceremony. They're both having their ceremonies this coming Saturday morning. And they were both people that rose to the occasion to be the best that they could be in what they did. And I feel like that in honor of Charlie Kirk, that God asks us to do that. And so on this day, because of Max Licato's devotional, I thought September 16th, the devotional from Grace for the Moment, it's just a simple verse that says, I think it's the best news. It was Luke 24:6. He is not here. He has risen from the dead. And the title of that devotional for today is A Symbol of Love. So, you know, God is bigger than any paradox, and he can bring good and great things out of evil things. So thank you for praying for both the Dove family and the Shepherd family.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin. Amen. Thank you for your heart. And Alex, you know, friends that you had in high school, you may or may not keep in contact with you. I woke up this morning with two or three of them on my mind, and I was praying for them. That's the power of prayer, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, isn't it just so special that those that are brothers and sisters in the family of God, and those, like she mentioned, this coach that influenced their life. Bert, it's not a cliche, but Christians never say goodbye, just I'll see you later.
Hallelujah.
I'll be speaking in a funeral on Saturday afternoon. There was a man named Bob Kelly. He was an engineer. He designed heart valves, and he was a six-day young earth creationist, loved Jesus. For 20 years, I had him speak in our summer camps. He was just a godly man. He loved this show, and he loved the Lord, and he was quite brilliant. Well, he went to be with the Lord, and I want to ask prayer for his widow, Barb, but she's a devout Christian. But Bob Kelly, a colleague in the ministry, and
amen.
His service is this weekend, too.
Well, let's get a prayer request from Brent. I think one came over on Facebook, and then I'll lead us in this prayer. Brent, you have those requests?
I do. This one is from Donna. She said she prays that all Christians stand up to the truth of God's word, and that God will give us the courage to do so.
Amen. Courage. Hey, be strong and courageous. I believe that is really, we talked about our fishbowl that Jan and I do. That's going to be one of the themes. Be courageous, and be courageous with your family as well as everything else. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, Alex, and right now. Father, I thank you for Robin calling and hearing her heart, for her desire for the word of God to go forth in truth. What a prayer request, and we are praying for that. And we do pray for these families. We're praying for the Kelly family that Alex knows, Barb, and for Alex as he'll be doing the service, that give him the words and strength, and may it be one that would draw people to the Lord Jesus. We pray for the Dove family, Father, yes, as this classmate has gone on to be of the Lord. Sounded like she was a person that Robin had stayed in contact with, knowing her, and for the coach, Father Fred Shepherd, his family, Father. We hear it again and again, the most influential person on high school campuses is usually said coach someone. So I thank you for the godly influence of coaches, especially those that are part of the FCA and other ministries like this that make much of Jesus. And we pray for these, that you would be glorified in the worship services, Father, and that Jesus would be lifted up. And we thank you that you're going to do this. And we pray, Father, that again, that truth would go forth and accomplish what you sent it forth to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've got people online, so let's get two or three and we'll pray. Roy from Ohio. Roy, thank you for your call.
Thank you for taking it.
Yes, what's your prayer request,
brother? What you got, brother?
First of all,
okay, try it again, Roy.
It's kind of breaking
up.
Yeah,
you broke up. Oh, man, we lost him. Okay. I read what he said. He wanted us to pray for the family of the shooter, of Charlie Kirk. I can't imagine what they're hurting beyond measure. I know that. Yeah. And, again, we've got a lot of people said that man needs to be saved, and he does. And we're praying that as well. So, Roy, we got that. I saw that. I didn't get all your comments, but we saw that, and we have been and will continue to do that. Let's go to Roy in Georgia. Roy, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I almost answered a while ago when you said Ohio.
Yeah, a little space between them, Roy.
Because I can't afford to go there that fast.
Well, go ahead, brother. Two Roys in a row. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a prayer, but I wanted to say something first of all. I've really been wanting to go to that fishbowl retreat for years.
Yes, sir.
I'd love to go, but I've been fishing all my life. I hadn't caught a fish.
Well, in the fishbowl, I tell you what, in the fishbowl, if you're a pastor, let me tell you, I'm just going to go ahead and say this for all the pastors out there. You go to the grocery store, go to whatever market you do, and you've got your cart, or as they say, buggy down here in Northeast Mississippi, and they'll talk to you, but then they'll glance down in your cart to see what you got. And it's living in the fishbowl. And so we're talking about being strong and courageous. Alex is going to be one of our teachers. We're so excited about that Alex could be there and share. So we're looking forward to that, Roy. But go ahead with your prayer request, brother.
Yeah, I saw you over in Sylvester recently.
Yeah.
Alex, did he give you those stickers that I sent to you guys?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yes.
The one that had Jesus on it,
yeah,
U.S.?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yes.
I meant to get some of those to Charlie, but I'll send them to their thing later. But anyway, I'm single, and I don't have any family, no siblings, no kids, no grandkids. And I've got prostate cancer. They say it's low grade, but anyway, they said my numbers is going up. And I've got to make up my mind, and just so many things are spinning around. You know, I'm just trying to, I want to pray for, you know, for the healing of it, but, you know, for the right type of treatment, you know, because there's a lot of different types that they have.
Well, we're going to do that, Roy. We'll pray for healing. Write Roy's name down, and yes, there it has that. So while we're going to pray, Brent, would you mind give us an update on your mother-in-law? We want to be praying for her. Because we've done that, and so go ahead, share that.
The leukemia has actually gone away, but she still has the lymphoma, and it has worsened.
Okay.
But her spirits are great, and she knows her God very well.
Okay. Want to pray for her, and Roy in Georgia. And, again, we're praying, again, for the salvation of if the the family of the shooter needs to come to the Lord. I pray they would as long with him. Alex, would you mind leading us in this prayer, brother?
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of our listeners. Lord, we thank you for really the good news with Brent's mother-in-law. But I lift up Roy as well and help this listener, being single and not really having a whole lot of family. You know, I pray the family of the church would rally around him. Lord, I would pray for complete healing, that miracle of healing, whether it be just by the move of your hand or whether it be working through doctors and medicine. But we ask for healing. But give him wisdom. Help him to make good decisions. Let him have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I know there are a lot of people out there in similar situations. I know a man named Doug who had cancer several years ago, now has bladder cancer. And Lord, I pray a twofold prayer. If everybody would join with me in praying for Doug, for one thing, that he wouldn't have to lose his bladder, that the doctors could heal him. But also that Doug would get saved, because Doug needs to give his life to you. And he's in his 60s, and he has fought against you for a long time, just anger in his life. We lift up all these prayer requests, and especially this man with bladder cancer who needs not only a physical touch, but spiritual as well. Lord, all of us know people that are lost. And so please intervene, and we lift it all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we have time for prayer requests. That number is 844. Why did I say 844? 888.
I don't know.
That's triple eight. That's our area. Yeah. Yes, it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We have time for one. I think, Brent, you have one.
Yes. Terry and on Facebook, she's asking for prayer for her great nephew, Luke. He's 18 years old, and he's been diagnosed with rare autoimmune disease.
18 years old. Luke. Okay. Well, with that in mind, we've got another one here, and it's from Mississippi, and it's Tina. Tina, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I really enjoy y'all's program. I was just calling with a praise report. I had called a couple of months ago or so and asked prayer requests for my mother. She has multiple myeloma. We went to the cancer center this morning, and they can find no activity.
Woo! Amen.
So wow.
I just had to call and praise God for that news today.
Amen.
Glory
Tina.
To God.
Amen. Lord, we
so
praise
please
you.
Continue.
Amen. Amen. We will, Tina. Thank you for that. Lord, we praise you. We really do. And we pray for Luke, God, that you would help this young man. This disease, and I pray they would know exactly what to do, and Father, that you would intervene in yourself, and more than anything, spiritually help them emotionally, but physically, Father, we do pray for this healing in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've got several calls that people have called in. Let's go to Texas, and it's Aurora. Aurora, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I would like to pray for Erica, I know that she's going through the grief process of anger and disbelief, but there would be a time when she would be able to probably forgive this man in her heart, so that she will have peace that passes understanding. I know justice will still prevail, but a lot of criminals and murderers change their lives through just the power of forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. We are praying. Aurora, thank you. Listen, God can do anything but fail. And Alex, how far do you have to get away from God for him to not be able to reach you?
Well, his arm can, the Bible says in Isaiah, his arm is not shortened that he can't save. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. So folks, if you're wanting to know Christ, he's as close by as a prayer. And Bert, I believe Romans 10:13, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
I do as well. I just want you to know, as a 12-year-old boy, I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I had not been in church the first 10 years of my life. My dad lived a godly life. My mother did. But yet, because of a church fuss and everything, they pulled away. That's the reason I hate them as bad as I can. Unless it's huge, don't make a big deal out of it. I'm telling you, don't let preferences keep you from staying in the stuff and letting God lead you. That's our prayer. But Alex, brother, we praise God for the difference he's making in our lives, aren't we?
We sure do. We sure do. And Bert, where again is that you're preaching tonight?
Gilmore Chapel Methodist Church. It's up close to Marietta, Mississippi. You can Google it and you can get there. I'm telling you, on maps, it's identifiable and the signs will lead you straight to it.
Well, I'll be tonight at Forward Church in Myrtle Beach, 6:30 p.m., speaking for Turning Point USA tonight. Keep that in prayer. Folks, pray for our nation. Pray for the Holy Spirit to descend on this nation and send revival, beginning with each one of us. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We're going to be on again tomorrow, God willing. Tell somebody about American Family Radio, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.